In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The day is so blessed that we call it good. The day is so marvelous and wonderful that we celebrate it not only in its chronological order, but also today. Good Friday is the culmination of all of history. Nations were raised, nations were torn down so that the cross might be plunged into Golgotha, the place of the skull, and thus Satan destroyed forever in fulfillment of God's promise to Adam. So women conceived and men were born. Israel was redeemed and King David ruled so that this cross might resound throughout all history. Two beams, crossed in hate, anger, and vengeance. A pole with a cruel scaffold, the engine of shame to cower Caesar's enemies. The seat of mercy, the place of hope, and the emblem of our faith. Christ was lifted up to draw all men to himself as he hung in the place of all men. Draw a picture of the love of God and you can only draw one thing, Christ suspended from that tree. The cross is good and marvelous, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. He was exalted on this wooden beam as the sacrificial lamb. In your place he died, for your sins he died. He forgot not one. All was done by him. His love took your tiny forgotten sins, which have long escaped your memory. His love took your large burdensome sins that still plague you perhaps even years after. His love took your unknown sins. Not one was forgotten, so that you might be free from all sin. His throbbing head, the stinging back, the tearing of his hands and his feet, the burning lungs pale in comparison to being forsaken by his God and Father, hung in the darkness of that afternoon in the pit of hell. It's no wonder the sun refused to shine. And yet in that darkened afternoon, the cross shines as a brilliant light, for the devil was crushed and you were set free. By the virgin birth, he avoided original sin. Now he takes on man's fallen sin to fulfill the Father's will. The cross completes the incarnation. God is man as you are man. He walked in your place, breathed your air, avoided sin, and pursued godliness. He overcame each temptation where you have failed. He did not shrink, but was led to his cross. Born in Bethlehem, where lambs were raised for temple sacrifice, this holy Lamb of God has come to his altar of sacrifice. Lift it up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. But the serpent is the embodiment of evil, you say. Yes, by a serpent, Satan deceived Eve and led the whole world astray. And so we see that Christ on his cross becomes the embodiment of all sin and evil, so that we might look to him in faith and live. We gather around his cross, and there we find joy. Our sins are no more. Our guilt is atoned for. The curtain is torn. The earth shook. And the dead are raised. And we are reconciled to God through his blood. Nation after nation for 2,000 years has gathered around the cross of Christ. They have erected crosses in churches, in homes, in courtyards, and in cemeteries. The Roman instrument of torture has become the sign of Christianity, the symbol by which we are known. Of course, we're not talking about a piece of wood, for relics have no power or blessing from God. Even traveling to the place that Jesus was crucified brings no spiritual blessing, for God comes to where we are. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The cross is brought to you through the preached word. To be drawn then to the cross of Christ, to gather around the cross of Christ, is to find forgiveness in his wounds, life in his death, and salvation in his work. So no pilgrimages to holy lands, rather holy baptism. No relics, but the word. No splinters of wood, but the Holy Supper. The cross is not far away, but it is near, placed before you each week as the crucified comes to be your guest. And yet it is still good, right, and salutary to place images of crosses in our houses, churches, courtyards, cemeteries, to hang them around our neck and even to make the sign of the cross. These do not have magical or mystical power because God has not attached his promise to them, but neither will I say that they have no effect. There is comfort in the sign of the cross traced over our bodies, seen on a wall, worn on our neck, or placed at the head of a grave. For wherever that cross is depicted, it is a remembrance, a silent preaching of who God is for us, what he has done for us, of his great love for us, and of where we are going. In that death we rejoice. In that vicarious death, the substitutionary sacrifice done for us and freely given to us, we make a joyful song. For that reason, it is a joy and a delight to see the cross of Christ. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. What Bethlehem's lambs could not do, Christ has done. What the blood of bulls failed to accomplish, Christ has accomplished. And for you, dear Christian, for you, so that you might be his own. Your sins do not matter, for his blood is greater than your sin. Yes, it should have been you, but it wasn't you. It was him. And so we rightly put it everywhere to remember his great love for us and for all men. If you have any doubts of the love of God, if you have any doubt of the love of God in your life and that he is working all things for your good, and remember the cross of Christ. Gather around him once more. What the Romans, the devil, and the Jewish leaders intended for evil, God uses for good. By it you are saved eternally. So do not question what God does in your life. Take death, for example. It is your great enemy. But do you see how he uses the death of Christ to save you? So shall he use your death to bring you into that salvation. Thus, we place a cross on a tombstone. Or think of our burdens, problems, difficulties, our ailments, diseases, and shortcomings. We call them crosses, and rightly so, for they were placed there by our loving Father to bless us, even as Christ's cross is a blessing for us. His cross alone wins salvation, but ours train us in salvation. His accomplished everything, ours leads us back to that atoning sacrifice. His is our hope, and ours draw us back into that hope. They work against our intellect, our reason, our own will, so that we have the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, the eyes of Christ, and we live by faith in his cross. His cross is so marvelous that we celebrate it twice, not simply once. Today we are on the cusp of fall. Good Friday is on the cusp of spring. But today, as summer fades and the daylight gives way to darkness, the cross is lifted up. Christ crucified is proclaimed in the midst of this dark, immoral world. And it bursts forth as a radiant tree that burns with life, yet is never consumed. The darkness will not quench it. Your sins cannot extinguish it. It forever shines in all its splendor. You live and you move and you have your being under its tender, forgiving branches, eating its divine fruit for the forgiveness of all your sins. It is your standard, leading you into the very presence of God. It is your standard, leading you back out into the world. It is your comfort and joy, and your joy in life's ups and downs, your constant and your peace. No matter how chaotic, stressful, or worrisome life may be, his cross defines you. No matter what sins you fall into, his cross absolves you. It is his glorious throne and the hope of your glory. For in that holy death, your death ends and your life begins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.